But this morning I want to speak about that. I don't know if you can read the red. I looked at it and I thought, well, they're going to battle. But it says busy, like a bee. Seriously, really, so too, very busy, crazy, just busy. Who can identify with that, especially at this time of the year? Anyone who knows me knows that I struggle, even though I'm being slow this morning, with sitting still. The church style, listen, Josh is already laughing. I'm very good at lying on my back on the couch and sleeping in front of the TV. But when I'm on my feet or when I'm awake, I'm not very good at sitting still. If you ask the two staff, they will tell you I don't walk slowly. I don't know how many times I've come close to knocking them over. Shirley, please stay away from me. I can't afford for an accident with you right now. But that's in my nature. I walk fast. I always want to get done things quicker so that I can get more things done quicker. That's my nature. The more I can get done in a day, the happier I am. So that's my nature. But it can be incredibly distracting and it can break you down as well. I can tell you, Shura will tell you, when she's trying to talk to me and I'm already off on something else, she can smile. It can be quite frustrating. And it can be very stressful because you put yourself under pressure. The need to get more done, more completed, more places to go, achieve more. And I know that when we initially took over the church, you sensed a bit of that yourself. Because it was just go, 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 go. And I've come to the realization that as much as we want to achieve as a church, it can't be go, 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 go all the time. Because it's not good for us and it's not good for you. There's a time to go, 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 and there's a time that you need to relax. And one morning this week, I sat down at my desk to have my quiet time, and I'd been going already early in the morning. And I realized how wound up I was on the inside. And when you're like that, it's hard to just quieten your spirit so that you can connect with the Lord. Have you experienced that? Too busy to stop and connect with the Lord. And who knows, we need to connect with Jesus. We need a relationship with Him. It can't be the surface thing, because then it's just religion. Then we're like the Pharisees, and we'll soon find ourselves becoming judgmental, insensitive, and disconnected. Can I hear an amen? I know I'm talking about stuff that you know about, otherwise the Lord wouldn't have given me this message. And the Lord started speaking to me that morning, and I wrote it down in my little diary. I've told you, you need to sit down and write down the voice of the Lord so you can train yourself to hear His voice. And He said this to me, "My son, be still, be settled, rest in me. You run too much." I had to say amen. "Slow down, sit at my feet like Mary did. This is where your soul will be refreshed. This is the place of fresh oil and new wine." And I've been praying, "Lord, I need fresh oil and new wine." "This is the place where revival can be found. Be still and know that I am God. Seek me first, and all things will fall into place." That's what He said to me. Have you ever greeted somebody asking, "How are you?" And what's the answer you get? "I'm fine." "I'm fine." What's the other answer you get? Often, "I'm busy, hectic." They're fine, but they're hectic. How many of you have given that answer, maybe even this week? "Phew, I'm busy." I know. It's a word that I have used many, many times. So, the Lord has got something to say to us today about being busy, busy, busy. And that's the title of the message. Busy, busy, busy. We're on the run all the time. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. I don't know if you'll find chapters 38 to 41. It might take a while to read. And it was interesting that Pastor Ted yesterday afternoon used the same scripture. For those of you that were here yesterday afternoon, did you get some value out of it? I mean, was it worth your time on a Sunday? Don't just say yes for my benefit, eh? You must give me some honest and truthful feedback. If you felt it was a waste of time, then come and tell me. All right. I might not like it very much, but I must be open to that. All right. But I felt it was worth it. I felt the Lord was speaking even to me as he was speaking, because he was giving us his word, God's word. Luke 10, verse 38 to 41 says this. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. We read up to there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are with us this morning, that you've got a message for us. It doesn't matter if we're young and building a career, or if we're old and retired, or if we're a pastor who runs around. We all need to hear your word this morning. There's not one of us this morning that you have not got something to say to. So I pray, open our hearts, open our minds, our spiritual ears, and let us take in that which you've got. I pray that we will be alert, that the enemy will not come with distractions. And I pray that you'll grant me your anointing and your unction to bring this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Martha was busy. She was busy serving. I spoke yesterday briefly at the end of the service our time of learning, about how busy some of the leadership team in this church are. It's a concern to me. But sometimes we've just got to do what we've got to do, and we've got to trust the Lord for strength. Because if there were more of us, we could spread the load a little bit wider, and we could back off a little bit. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. But Martha was busy. She'd invited the Lord in. She loved the Lord. He felt welcome in her home. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come. He was a good friend of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. That is why he wept when he saw their pain when he found out that their brother had died. So they had a great relationship with Jesus. They were friends with Jesus. She was comfortable enough with Jesus to say, look at my sister. Lord, tell her to come and help me. Who would have gone to Jesus and told him that? Hey, Lord, look at this. She's sitting here talking to you and there's work to be done. Don't you sometimes feel like that in the church? Look at all those other people. They're sitting on their bottoms and I'm having to do all the work. Come on, tell me you've never said that. At least those of you that are involved. She was busy. She was fed up. She was serving. Surely the word of God says the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. She was serving. So saying, look, Lord, I'm doing all this hard work. That's what Pastor Ted said this afternoon. She's saying, hey, I'm working. Come on, give me some help. It seemed that she was doing the right thing. But what the Bible says there is a bit of a surprise. In Luke 10, verse 40, it says this. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Jesus' reply was just as surprising. He said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Surely, Lord, serving you is great. It is. Now, don't use this as an excuse to stop working in the church. Ek gaan julle pak slag gee. But there comes a point where we've got to take a break. There comes a time when you've got to say, am I serving for the sake of serving? Or for the sake of stature in the church, or am I serving because I love Jesus? And Jesus said, you're worried about many things. I can tell you, I was anxious as I stood here this morning. Worried about many things. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Pastor Mahmosni. It's not weakness. We are human beings. Busyness can be a huge distraction. And I'm not just talking about busyness in the church. I've just used it to lay a foundation. It can be a huge distraction. Busyness can cause you to worry and be troubled. Just like Jesus said to Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. All she was doing was preparing lunch. Pastor Ted said she was preparing babuti. I wonder if they ever knew what that was in those days. I don't think so. It was probably more likely bread or something. I don't know. They didn't even eat much meat. But she was busy and she was serving Jesus. And he said, you're worried about, why worry about lunch? Really? I mean, you can go without a meal. Yes, it's kind of rude to invite somebody to your home and not feed them, but you can do without it. Jesus wasn't bothered about it. He was sitting talking to Mary. She was sitting at his feet, and he was enjoying the conversation. Haven't you found that, you ladies, a frustration when people come for lunch, and then you land up slaving in the kitchen, doing the roast potatoes and lekker, and it's going to be eaten in about 5 minutes. Everybody else is having a lekker chat, but you can't. Personally, as a visitor, I find it frustrating. We got somebody we go and visit fairly regularly. Somebody close to me. None of you. And you don't get to visit because they're in the kitchen all the time. So what we try and do is prepare a meal that's in one dish so that we can have it ready before the people come. Then at least we can stand and chat. But you might do things differently. Roast is great. Okay. Just takes time. But what I'm trying to say, Mary was busy with whatever it was. She wanted to give her lekker meal, but she missed out on fellowship. Busyness can be a huge distraction. She was busy, busy, busy. Is the penny starting to drop, church? It can be a huge distraction. I went and looked up what does busyness mean. And I found synonyms. In other words, other words that mean the same thing. It can mean cluttered with small, unharmonious details. Lunch to Jesus was an unharmonious detail. Busy comes from the old English word, I think it's the old Afrikaans word, busig, busig. Eh? So now you Afrikaans people in the church can say, no, 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 our words didn't come from English, your words came from Afrikaans or from Dutch. Busig. It means careful, anxious, continually employed or occupied. Come show me a hand. I want to see a hand. Let's be honest this morning. Who is like that all the time? Come on. Come on, Josh, Kirsty, Cheryl, my family. Come on. Yala York, put up your hand. Are you busy? Come on. I am. All right. An online thesaurus provided this description. Unavailable, buried, overloaded. Who feels overloaded this morning? I don't, okay. Slaving, snowed. I think they should have added the word under. Swamped, tied up. That's what busyness will do to you. Right? And you know what happens when you get busy like that? You're bored, moch. You get tired. You feel like you can't carry on. Even secular people realize that busyness is not good. And I've got a long section here that I've taken from an article written by a man by the name of Tim Mora, who writes for Forbes magazine. He wrote this, why busyness isn't good business. Okay, so it's not just scriptural. It's a carnal or a secular principle as well. He says this, it's old news that we're busy and that we wear our busyness as a badge. Who wears their busyness as a badge? I'm so cool because I'm busy. I'm such a great worker because I'm busy. I remember being in the workplace. You get people who are always busy, but they achieve nothing. It's the truth. They wear it as a badge of honor. It says, but a new study found that Americans in particular are actually buying it. In other words, they're falling for the lie that busyness makes you productive. Specifically, the study concluded that Americans who always say they're busy are actually seen as more important. Unfortunately, it's all a charade. And I've seen that. The whole secular, in the secular business, nowadays you've got to sell yourself. You've got to market yourself. So the more busy you look, the more people think you're so fantastic. But we've all worked with people like that. They might have the jaw, they can say it all, and they can look busy, But when it comes to the crunch, you'll end up having to cover because you're doing their work for them. So who's the real busy one? All right? Oh, there's bicycle and eating cake. I hope you're not one of those busy people. Right. Numerous studies have shown that busyness isn't actually good business. And here's the big reason. It makes us less productive. To be busy makes you less productive. We're all susceptible to it. But if I'm saying to myself, this is the person writing it, and he says, and I have, woo, I'm busy, really busy, I'm likely being distracted from the most important and the most productive work that I could be doing. I may feel like I'm doing more, but the net result is actually less. And often it feels like it. And what does that do? If I feel I'm not doing enough, I put myself under pressure. It becomes a distraction. It causes ulcers. It causes depression. Are you with me, church? But not everyone who wears busyness as a status, not everyone wears busyness as a status symbol. In response to the research and their own well-informed gut feelings, many are finding enjoyment in more productive work at a less busy pace. In other words, if I feel that I've achieved something, even though I haven't been as busy, I find a sense of achievement in it. It gives me more satisfaction. Does that make sense to you? And then he wanted to find out from some well-known people what they thought about busyness. So 12 people, 12 thought leaders, that's another modern term, thought leaders. These are people who know how to think. They think gurus, you know, thought gurus. He said, two questions. How do you know when you've gotten too busy? And what's the technique that you use when you to unbusy yourself? Church, that's a question we need to ask ourselves this morning. What can I do to unbusy myself? And please don't tell me, I'm not going to come to church. Right. You need fellowship. The Bible tells us you need fellowship. Right. Here's what some had to say. This person, Chris Gillibo. I don't mind working hard and taking on lots of projects. In fact, I wouldn't have it any other way. But when I have no time to think, then I feel too busy. In other words, when you're so busy, you can't even think. How many has experienced that? I'm telling you, these people sitting here today that's felt that. To deal with it, he said this, it can be hard to dig myself out of a busyness tunnel. Who gets themselves into busyness tunnels? However, one tactic I use is to look through my upcoming calendar and cancel anything that doesn't seem essential. It's likely I still have a number of commitments to see through, but even a little relief can help to restore order. I want to tell you, church, if you're that busy, go through your list. I hate making lists. If I make lists, it puts me under pressure immediately because then I know what I haven't done. I'd rather not know what I haven't done. But go through your list of things that you've got to do and say, is there something that that's not important? Sometimes it happens to the pastor, okay? And I'm on call. I'm on call for you. That's my role. And it's not my job. It's my calling, right? I'm here. Many people say, oh, you're so busy. I don't want to bug you. Please call me. Please bug me. Because that is what I'm here for. I'm here for you. Right? You are my number one priority. Okay? After my relationship with Jesus Christ. Because otherwise I'm worth nothing to you. But you say, oh, you're so busy. But sometimes people will call the pastor and want him to do something that kind of doesn't fit. You know? It's not a top priority. So you might find or say, oh, I'll help you with that. But there's other things you need to get done first. And we all need to learn to make the right priorities. There's a saying, is it important or is it essential? What's important is not necessarily essential, but what's essential must maybe take precedence over that which is important. Are you with me? So we need to go through the important things in our diaries and say, what's so important that if it doesn't get done? There was a saying the auditors taught me once. If the work doesn't get done, is anybody going to die? All right. Okay, so for me, important is if somebody's in the hospital, I need to go and visit them because they might die. That makes sense, doesn't it? All right. But if you call me to come to pray for the neighbor's puppy that's sick, I might go to the hospital. You understand, that's a stupid example, but you understand what I'm saying. Laura van der Kam, a time management guru, knows she's too busy when, she says, when you find yourself doing lots of tasks on your calendar or you don't have the energy to do things you normally like to do. And you have a lot of activities in your life that you feel like you'd pay good money to offload. That's probably a good sign too, that you're too busy. To deal with it, she says, sometimes our calendars need a radical makeover. People have been talking about decluttering for years, but Marie Kondo changed the conversation by flipping it from getting rid of stuff you don't like to only keep the stuff that sparks joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. So you can't take church out of the calendar because you're going to get joy when you come here. Amen. Sorry, I've got to balance it a little bit. Otherwise, next week I'm preaching to five. Okay. There's another guy that says this, I exercise to deal with my busy calendar. It's hard to multitask when you're running or swimming. I also turn my phone off. Phones. It's a distraction buffet. You know when you go for a buffet, there's this meat and that vegetable and rice and gravy. Yuck, you don't know where to start. That's what our phones do to us. Because there's emails and WhatsApps and SMSs and Facebook Messenger and internet and what? Twitter and yeah. You see, the problem is our phones. And you know what happens? Even in church, we get the urge to take that thing out of our pocket because we're so used to having it in our hand. Do you know what that says? It says you're addicted to your cell phone. It's not good for you. Do you know when people started really struggling with work pressures? Now I can be phoned at home. Now I get emails at home. Now I open that email and there's instant pressure because now there's something I've got to do when I'm supposed to be resting. Who's identifying? Come on, Josh, can you identify with that? Amen, Kirsty? I'm talking to the young professionals that are busy building their career. Let's talk to some old professionals. Dave, can you identify with it? She's a teacher, a grade R teacher. She gets messages at night. I freak. I do. Ooh, I'm getting other fingers pointed here. But we're all guilty of it. Busy, busy, busy. I'm not even preaching the word right now. Can you identify with what I'm saying? Busy, busy, busy. Running after grandchildren. Running after hobbies. Guilty. All right. But sometimes you need a hobby so that you can get a rest from your busyness. God created the world. It took 6 days. It could have been 6,000 years. Each year for the Lord, each day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Doesn't matter. But there came a time when he rested from his busyness. Church, we need to rest from our busyness. Closer to home, I spoke to a friend of mine the other day. He's in trouble. His marriage is... And he's got a child from this marriage. From the marriage. And he said, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He lost his cool and they moved out. He said, I don't know. I don't know about... I said, have you got a relationship with her? No, not really. I said, why? He said, well, I start work at 5 in the morning. I leave work at 8 o'clock at night. I said, come to church on Sunday. He said, no, I'm working. Busy. No matter where he goes, no matter what job he holds, those are the hours he works. I want to tell you, and I can tell you because I've worked in the secular world, you do not have to work those long hours. A job that requires that of you is not worth having. I'd rather have my family and less money. He said, but they like the money. I said, well, it doesn't help to have the money and no family. Amen? I've got a song I'd like to play for you. And now I can sit and have a rest from my busyness of preaching. Are you enjoying this message? Is it making sense to you?
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today, I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. Said, I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then. I've long since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me.
Isn't that such a scary song? Who's experienced that? There are people sitting here that have experienced that. Josh Christie, that song scares me. Witless. That's the problem with busyness. We neglect our loved ones. We neglect our relationship with Jesus because we get too busy. Busy serving. Busy with things that aren't important. Busy with things that aren't eternal. Busy with things that one day we'll regret. How busy are you, church? How busy have you been? Who's paying the price for your busyness? I tried to keep a balance as my children grew up. In some ways, I think I've got it right. I've got regrets too. I've got regrets too. Sport matches that I didn't attend. Times I didn't spend with my daughters. Yeah, it is what it is. There's no going back and fixing it. But from today, I can do something different. What's keeping you busy, church? Could it be the way that social media has infiltrated your life? Jesus said one thing is needed for the problem of busyness. I've spoken to you about Martha being distracted. But if we go and read the last two verses of Luke 10, verse 41 and 42, it says this. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What is the good part that Jesus spoke about? In the English Standard Version, it says this. Mary has chosen the good portion. What's the good portion? I cross-referenced it. And it led me to Psalm 16, verse 5 to 6, which says this. O Lord, you are the portion, the good portion. You are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. The portion, the good part that Mary chose lined up with the portion or the lot in the Old Testament. Do you know what they allocated by lot in the Old Testament? They allocated the land of milk and honey by lot. And each family got their portion of land. It was their inheritance. Did you hear it in that scripture I read? It spoke about inheritance. The priests were not allocated a piece of land. Their portion was to serve as priests, to spend time with the Lord in His presence. It was better than having physical possessions, being in the Lord's presence. We are kings and priests, church. We have got a portion. Mary chose the good portion, the New Testament portion. She chose Jesus to sit at His feet, to be taught by Him, to be helped by Him. So when we are making the choices that we make and we're choosing about busyness, and some of us in our busyness choose to set the Lord aside and our relationship with Him aside, we are neglecting our inheritance, our good portion. Who knows what your inheritance is? Eternity. But it's also fellowship with Jesus right here, right now. And Jesus said it will not be taken from her. He forbid Martha in all of her business and all of her serving to take the good portion away. So that is that is really the warning or the challenge or the depth of the message this morning. What will you do with the good portion? Will you in your business not choose to take hold of your portion? Or will you in your business say, I need to make time so that I can take hold of my portion, which is Jesus Christ my Lord? And in the same way, take hold of your children. They are your legacy. They are the heritage that you will leave behind. Take hold of your family and your loved ones. Take hold of this family. Let me tell you, you do not know how precious and how blessed you are. Not because I'm the pastor, yeah? But because you're part of the family of Christ. God gave us each other. Yesterday afternoon, as I saw the number of leaders and workers and people who just voluntarily came, it touched me. It let me realize how blessed I am. If I can embrace you in any way, church, by God's grace, may I do so. And we need to be there for one another. If I can embrace my children in any way, you too. We can't make other things more important. Yo, ek's bietjie persoonlik vanoggend, nee. Is our busyness and our chasing after worldly pursuits, or even kingdom serving, not the kingdom, but kingdom serving, taking us from our precious time at Jesus' feet? Pastor Ted yesterday afternoon spoke about the ministry or your service. It can't just be about that. It's got to be about your relationship with Jesus Christ. It can't just be about what you're doing for the kingdom. Do we realize that when we spend time in the presence of Jesus, we get renewed? Jesus said, Mary has chosen one thing that is needed. She's chosen the good part. And I conclude with this. This world we live in is a busy, busy world. Lots of distractions. These distractions cause anxiety and stress. There's an acronym for the word busy. B-U-S-Y. Being under Satan's yoke. The enemy wants to put you under the yoke of busyness. Have you failed and fallen under it? Jesus always comes in the opposite spirit. He's got a yoke for us too. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 29. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And that's supported by your favorite scripture, Lulu, Isaiah 40 verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. In the presence of the Lord there is strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and will not faint. Pastor Ted yesterday likened losing your temper to the tempering of a piece of steel. It's the tempering of a steel. When you put it in and make it hot and then put it in water, it brings the molecules together and makes it strong. But when you lose your temper, you lose your strength. When you get offended and you stop coming to church, in His presence is fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When you're offended and you don't come to church, you lose your strength and your joy. Amen. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is calling on us today to say, come to me. Find rest in me. Learn from me. Break that heavy yoke, busyness. Come out from under it and find easy, you know, the peaceful yoke, the easy life. Not easy as in, oh, we'll just live the easy life, but the easiness of having the yoke of Christ on you. It's a peaceful yoke. And then we will receive the promised result. What's the promised result? It's the good portion, which is our inheritance in Christ. Isn't that interesting? So getting too busy will separate us from our inheritance. Sure, I've done some spiritual maths this morning, amen? But the crux of the matter is, busy, busy, busy messes with our relationship with Jesus, separates us from Him, separates us from our families. It's unproductive. Let's get productive again, church. There's lots to be done. Let me tell you, I can make a list that'll keep you all busy. But we need to separate ourselves and spend time with Jesus. We need to apply ourselves properly where we are involved, where we are serving, and deal with the clutter that's keeping us too busy. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm not going to invite you forward this morning because you're going to be too embarrassed, and we'll have one person come forward when I know there's 15 that belong here. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to close our eyes and I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. If you know that busyness is a distraction for you, it's messed with your relationship with the Lord, it's messed with your relationship with people, your family, your close ones. In fact, it might even make you unproductive at work. You're running after this and that and the next thing, and you're not choosing the right things to busy yourself with. If that's you this morning and you need the Lord to help you, I want you to put up your hand. Let's raise our hand. Let's be honest, church. Now, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. Father, we do not want to fail. We do not want to fail in our relationship with you, in our relationship with our loved ones, or even in our work, let alone in our service in the church. But Father, there's clutter in the way. We're coming to you, Dad, this morning. We're saying, Lord, it's like a church, and I'm just praying this prophetically, it's like our toy box has got untidy. We can't find the toys we want to play with. It's a mess, and we're getting frustrated. We pray, fix up the mess in our lives, Lord. We don't know how to do it ourselves. Help us, Lord, to get focused on what needs to be focused on. Let us be like Mary, who chose the good portion by sitting at the feet of Jesus. Lord, she took that valuable bottle of alabaster in the same account. She said, worldly wealth means nothing to me. She broke it and poured it out over Jesus. In the same way, let worldly wealth and worldly possessions mean nothing to us, except a means by which we can honor you. Help us, Lord, to break this yoke of busyness and become the productive, happy, joyful, blessed children of God that we're meant to be, who can go and take hold of the good portion that you have for us. I ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.